we'll just call to order.
Okay.
And you'll take the membership down?
Yes.
We've been booted out of the back room.
Right.
So we'll talk right here. Why I call this meeting? You recall that, you know, we were pretty well along the line with the ordinance and all that. Everything was passed and all. And we were at the stage where we had the actuary working up what the distribution numbers were going to be and all that, okay? And while they were working on that, something was going wrong. The numbers weren't coming out right. And we put a hold on it and had to look for what was wrong. And what was wrong was there's a bad number in the ordinance. Right? And let me just pick this up for you. Yeah, the ordinance reserve did not relate to the reserves that the trustees knew were available. You remember we went through all of the calculations on what was going to, how much money was available, because we went to the actuary and all that. And you remember this one here. This was presented one or two meetings ago when we were talking about the difference between the defined benefit and the share plan, all coming under the umbrella of the new ordinance, right? And we said, okay, the defined benefit program, which was the monthly check that we get, was not impacted by this at all. That was just going to roll on. The share plan here, it said the distribution only in excess of, if an excess reserve exists, and we went through that, right?
Right.
And then no obligation to the city or plan for distribution. In other words, if there was no money, that's nothing it. Was owed to anybody.
Right.
Right. And the third was first distribution was comprised of excess reserve as of 30 September 2014. And that's when the retired guys would drop out of this plan. Okay? Next, the distribution to the retired and active vested members, that's where the distribution would go. And the distribution was based on the number of shares earned. Anybody have any questions with that? That's what we went through. You understand it that way, right? And then we said, okay, well, how do we get to the share numbers? And you recall we went through this process as well. We said share distribution through 30 September 2014. The excess state money's reserve was, this is above what we needed to fund this. And even with this excess reserve, there's still a reserve in here. This is about 120% funded. So the excess money's reserve was $1,505 and so on. And that was at a number I had asked the actuary to come up with for us. What was the reserve on this date? Because that was the basis for our calculations. And Doug came back and he said, okay, the reserve is $1,000,005 as of that date. Said, okay, $1,000,005. And then we said 20% of that number was going to be a permanent reserve to be held for the city. In case something went wrong or something happened to the plan, we gave people time to phase out if that happened. So we took the 20% out of that, so that means we have $1.2 million for distribution. And it was with that that we established a per share value. Because remember, we said we were going to do this on a share basis. Share was the equivalent of what? Was the equivalent of qualified years of service.
Right.
So the total number of qualified years is 272. The number of shares, consequently, then, is 272. So if we took the 1,204,589 divided by the 272, we got a value of 4,400 per share. All right? And then, and that's what you said, one share is that. So, oh, there's Bob. Come on, Bob.
I got lost. I'm waiting down there.
Oh, were you at the end of the door?
Yeah.
You're lucky you didn't get CPR'd.
Okay.
Well, just going through, why I call this is we have a conflict between the ordinance as written and what the actuary is doing.
Uh-huh.
Okay? The numbers that the actuary were working up wasn't corresponding to what we had planned, and by the way, more equally important, it did not correspond to the information we provided to the city council at the presentation we gave today. And it was all because of one number that never got escalated.
Okay.
Nobody ever called me.
Until now.
Hello.
Okay.
Fine, Joey. Yeah, we're here and he's here. We're all set, Joey. Thank you. Bye. Oh, with that in mind, what I was doing is recapping the intent that we as the Board of Trustees had. And we went through this process, which I'm sure you'll remember, and then how we got to the cost of a share. Okay? So, if we implement the change that we need, in other words, this is the number that needs to be in there. It's the number we coordinated, and it's the number we presented, in essence, to the City Council. City Council, we also presented a share value said was approximately $4,000. That size in there. However, this is just one page of the ordinance which presents the problem to us. I'll just let you look at that.
I'm
sorry, Bob. This number of in the first paragraph under section 2549, fourth line. We said $1,047,814 reserve amount. And that number came up way back when we started this whole process. It was the only solid number that we had from the actuary. So that was pumped in there as $1,004,000, because that's what it was. And we were anticipating as time went on, we just worked that up until we got to the point where we could execute this thing. And then, you know, that was the number.
Yeah, that was essentially the reserve at the end of 2012. So in late 2012, early 2013, when we started the process with Ace Miller, they were like, well, what's the number?
Yeah.
Well, this is the number that it was at that time. So that's where the number came from.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if we went ahead on the basis of the number that's in here, we wouldn't reach the four. And equally important, we wouldn't reach the $250,000 to $300,000 that we told the city would be permanent reserve. Okay, what do we need to do? Since it's just this one area, we need to ask for a change to change that section, change it from 1047 to 1505 reserve. Okay? And again, in the presentation that we gave to the city, that would sound, you know, it relates to this number, which is the share value, and it comes very close to the $1,505,000, because at that presentation, the latest thing we had was the reserve up to 2013. And kicking it to 2014, we got here. And then that would provide a reserve to the city of between $250,000 and $300,000. And so those are the really two big issues that the city would be concerned about, that the council would be concerned about. And asking for a change, we're not asking for any change that would financially affect either the city or the plan. Okay? So, I guess why we're here is understanding that. I want to send a letter from the Board of Trustees to the city asking that this number be changed. And I really felt I need your concurrence to do that.
And in that letter, you're going to highlight the fact that this $1,047,000 is as of 2012, And we were working with a number that should have been 2014, and basically that's where the difference is, and we'd like the base on 2014.
Yes,
right.
Rather than 2012. Mm-hmm. Worst case scenario, if we have to work with the lesser amount, the $1,047,000, then that share value will come down kind of considerably, I would guess.
My guess would be closer to $3,000 a share.
$3,000, right. It would come down about $1,400 or so, yeah. If it's turned down. So that's, I'm guessing that's what the issue is. My next question is, what is the chance of the council saying yes, and what's the chance of the council saying no?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about this is, once the board sends this letter to the city manager that basically says, hey, essentially we have an administrative error in the, you know, in the ordinance. Mm-hmm. We never updated this number before we finalized it with city council. That city manager might be fine, talk to the mayor, everybody's fine with it. They just go ahead and they put the paperwork through, and a couple of meetings later it's done. That's best case scenario. The other part of it is, well, what, you know, if they want to go back and revisit the whole thing again and what it means and why, that's where the complications come in, and that's where the public hearings and the people can show up and talk and complain about it and all that other kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when Charlie first mentioned it, you know, we started talking about it, I'm like, I'm not sure what the appetite of the city council and the city manager is to revisit this. Because you can't just say, well, just strike that number. You got to still go to public hearings and explain the issue and the whole thing. So, in the end, $1.5 million is still getting distributed. It's just not getting distributed the way that we thought it was going to get distributed. Right. I mean, the whole $1.5 million is going to the retirees and the current volunteers, one way or the other. So the actual total amount that gets distributed doesn't change. You know, nothing really changes, like Charlie said. The only thing that really changes is the mix when it comes into where the existing retirees fit in. And the city's overall reserve, those two things, would be lower. So, I'm hopeful that they'll be just like, oh, okay, so it was just this. Let's try to put it through as a simple adjustment. But I, you know, I can't. Who knows? I can never predict.
What does that leave us? I think it's the same point that we are right now. If we submit it and it's rejected, we are where we are. If they decide that, yeah, it was an administrative error, and we can cover that, then we are where we want it to be.
And I really think that that's the best way to approach it, is to say, listen, we all missed it. When this went before city council, that we never updated that number before city council took action.
Well,
and that might be the easiest way to present it, because that kind of stuff does happen from time to time. You know?
Yeah, but the city council's input wasn't based on that bad number.
No. Right.
All the information we gave to the city remains valid. Doesn't change. If they change this number, it doesn't change the premise nor the numbers that we gave in the presentation.
So if the change isn't made, the reserve amount would be higher for the city council. What if they came back with that?
Say that again.
If the change is not made, the excess of the $4 million or whatever it is would be essentially in a reserve for them to protect them. Mm-hmm. Would that be a cushion that they'd want to lean on?
No, they get hurt if they change it.
The 20% that goes to the city is less with the number that's in there now than it would be if they went to the $1.5 million.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, about $100,000 difference, right. Roughly. Right. So, it's better for the city
to do it also.
So, right. I'm hopeful that they're just going to say, okay, strike this, do that, and we're done.
And I'm guessing what I'm hearing from Charlie is that this was presented based on the $1,005,000.
Yes.
And they heard $1,005,000, but nobody realized that this $1,047,000 was in there. So, like you said, it was basically a mistake or an oversight. Let's put it that way, not a mistake, an oversight.
Right.
And maybe that'll make sense to them. And I think the fact that they'll have more reserves with the $1,005,000 than the other might be something that would be okay.
Yeah, that's a benefit.
But again, worst case scenario, we're working with the $1,047,000, and this really only affects the retirees because their share is going to go down as far as payout But as far as the active volunteers, they had nothing to start with. So whether they get 3,000 or 4,000, it's not hurting them at this point. They're still getting something.
Right.
So it really only hurts the people who are getting cashed out. The way I see it.
Yeah, compared to what we initially planned.
Right. Yeah. Because they're starting with nothing. The retirees are actually getting something, and now it's less than what they get.
Right.
So it really affects the retirees.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the amount of money in reserve.
Any amount of money in reserve, that's right. So, like I said, I'm hopeful that, I think when Charlie and I talked about it, the best bet is for the board to just, hey, listen, we never picked this up, this last number. And where that, initially there wasn't a number in this first couple of drafts of this.
Right.
It was, hey, the excess reserve as of such and such a date. But the IRS insisted that they wanted a number when they got the document.
Right.
That was one of the revisions. They were like, no, we...
And is that the number that's in the IRS letter ruling?
It was in the proposed ordinance that went to the IRS.
Okay. That's what you better live with.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because the $1 million was, this is what it is. You know, this is a, when they had the proposed ordinance... That's what was in there.
Yeah. Well,
but I don't know that they really referred to the number specifically in the IRS private letter ruling. But they wanted to know what the amount was.
Right.
So the draft of the ordinance was changed to put in that amount, which was the last full amount we knew at the time when that process started.
So the number that went to the IRS was the $1,047,000.
The million five.
Basically, the ordinance that was passed is what the IRS saw.
Which is the $1,000,005.
They see the million forty-seven.
I think seriously, you have to live with that number, because you don't in the here you don't want to upset that apple cart.
I tested this with Scott, called him and told him what we were doing our return. And he said, you know, he had no problem with that. And I tested it with Doug Lozen, the actuary, and went through this whole thing, and he has no problem. Once you change that number, it's fine.
And he didn't think there would be, to Bob's point, any repercussions from the IRS.
No mention of that. We can go back and ask him about that. Yeah. But,
I mean, that would be probably something else you want to, want to button up.
Mm-hmm. I think you better ask Ice Miller about it.
Yeah, I was going to say Ice Miller would be the ones.
Yeah. If we go to Scott, he's going to go to Ice Miller.
Yeah. I mean.
That's why I just don't want to come back, and that's why I brought up that what if we left it where it was scenario. Mm-hmm. Because if we leave it, the distribution would be smaller, the reserve would be smaller. At some point, I mean, either way, the fund's going to hold 20% of the current reserves. So if those reserves...
No, the way it's written, they look at 20% of the $1,000,004.
Okay. So
that's
it. So 20% of $1 million, $200,000, and... That's going to sit in there. Well, that fund, I'm not going to say never, but the fund is, when will it get to there again? You know, it's going to hold that money.
Yeah, so. my point was though, that we made the presentation to the city council on the basis of a permanent reserve of between 250 and 300,000, which they're not going to get on that number. Because there's no obligation on the part... within this program to take 20% of any other number than that.
Is that 250 to 300,000 in writing somewhere?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because, I mean, this is. You know, I mean.
Yeah, and that's where we have these different conflicts.
Yeah.
I think
minutes of the meeting is one thing.
This was a part of the presentation we gave to the city. And it was a state plan concept, which holds approximately $250,000 in the permanent reserve. But that's what they know. We also gave them a current plan status and where we were as of 2013, and that was at $1,300,000 When you got to 14, it came up to the $2,500,000. So all of this was predicated on the formula that we came up with, which is here. So if we can make this valid, then no other changes take place in the ordinance, and nothing that we said to the city council is in error. It just tracks and supports the documents that were a part of that. But taking Bob's point,
I'm thinking of how much, if the city council wants to put a bunch of heat out there for you, you could create problems.
No, we'll walk away. The ordinance is the ordinance. You can ask if they say no. We still got an ordinance.
Right.
It still passed. So the worst case scenario is 2014. You can't get hurt beyond that.
Right, but you're asking the city council, if they don't just say, if they say no, we don't agree with it, we want an explanation, then you have all the public meetings again you have to deal with. If they want an explanation in front of the public, like you said, so you open a can of worms that are you prepared to deal with, you know? And two is the end result could be negative if they don't want to make the change. You know, you said approximately $250,000. Well, approximately, we're between 200 and 250. I mean, it's all relative if you're using the word approximate. But I mean, I'm for it. I just think that it's a...
Well, the decision here then, if I'm hearing this right, is do nothing and stay with this or ask for the increase.
Right.
I mean, those are the two choices.
Right.
Ask for the increase and make sure we can ask for the increase based on Bob's input.
Well, yeah, that's the other caveat. I'm just thinking of a motion in my head, so...
Yeah, I understand. Actually, I think it's good advice just to. I mean, we've been so conservative with everything we've done so far. I think it makes sense to check with Ice Miller through Scott to, you know, if we change that number, what do you think the impact would be?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Is there any chance that, you know, someone, because this may sound really kind of impossible, but I have seen and I have done cases where one office will say one thing and another office within the agency will say another. And at that point, you are faced with either, you're faced with, a Hobson's choice, and your only choice is to litigate. That's a really expensive adventure. Okay? That makes this look like we had spent pennies. And so I'd be very, very cautious.
So are you saying we're not ever going to get a definitive answer from the IRS? That's one answer, or?
Well, what I'm saying is I've had different... you understand when you're, if there was ever an audit, okay, an auditor might look at that and say, gee, I don't think that's what the law says. And even though you have a private letter ruling, and you didn't quite follow it, did you?
Well, let me ask you this. If Ice Miller went back to the IRS, would they not get a document saying that they either approve or disapprove of this, and in an audit, would they not look at their own document?
If it follows the document, see, this, the private letter ruling makes them follow what we gave them, okay? If you change what we gave them, now what you've done is you've reopened the case.
I see.
Okay. And if someone picks it up, if it's ever picked up, now you're back to somebody deciding, well, gee, maybe that isn't what the law said.
Well, then maybe what we need to do is have Ice Miller go back and test the water to see if this is going to open up another Pandora's box.
Well, would you need to contact the IRS? Because I don't think their amounts were sent to the IRS. It was the way the distribution was going to be handled. Is that correct?
No, the actual ordinance went to the IRS. The draft ordinance, the dollar amounts.
So that's
honestly think Ice Miller would be able to answer the question.
Yeah,
I think they would say, I wouldn't do it, or...
Yeah, they'll either say, let's not open a Pandora's box, that the possibility, like Bob's saying, or...
Or they'll say, it has no bearing on what
and we once got. We get a decision, then, you know, we could use it.
Exactly.
But I would suggest we do that before we even write a letter to the city council.
I would, yeah. Why bother, why stir that
right. being why start at the other pot while we're still trying to figure out what's going on somewhere else?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah, and you don't want the IRS to get the
because
the
if you get something different, like, then you got to go back to the council again and say, "Well, by the way, we just wrote you this letter. However, here's another letter."
Just kidding.
We don't want to do that.
Yeah, we look like idiots.
Right.
Okay, so
if anybody doesn't disagree, I would say that we go ahead and get Ice Miller to look into this situation.
Well,
prior to sending,
I agree with that, but I think the process is we go back to Scott Miller, who's been there, and
Scott
let him go
Scott
to
whichever way you want to put it. Back to Scott
Miller.
We
had no
to go back to
that relationship.
To go back to them to investigate this prior to sending out any letter to to the city council.
Okay,
I'll put that into a motion.
Okay.
That we have Scott
Christensen.
Scott go back to Ice Miller to contact the IRS concerning the changes that we're talking about.
No. Just go back to Ice Miller for a determination on whether or not we can make that change.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, we don't want to contact the IRS. Never.
Not unless we absolutely have to.
Right. Yes.
And the tail end of that is before we write any letter to the
city seeking redress or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other comment?
No.
Second.
Motion. You need a second.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Done. Anybody have anything you want to bring up? Or? Okay.
No, we make a decision.
So, what we'll do is go back to Scott and ask him to take the issue up with Ice Miller and come back to us with some sort of an answer on the validity of making the change that we want to make.
Is Scott aware of this?
Yeah.
Does he have any personal opinion about this?
He never brought up the IRS. He says, if you want to change it, we can go through that, but we just have to revise the ordinance and do that. And he thought that maybe there would have to be some date changes, and I went through that with him. We really wouldn't have to make any date changes at all. It's just a typographical error. We just didn't bring it up right.
But it's typographical error that went to the IRS.
So
they don't ever make errors, that.
Well, they don't even file.
Yeah, they don't have to follow their own rules.
That's
they're
right.
They're lucky.
We got
good that way.
All right. Yeah. If there's nothing else, then take a motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
Okay. Good.